Hey, it is so good to be here with you on this morning, and I'm excited about jumping into this new series. So the title of the series, as you see, is Fearless, and there's actually another way to pronounce it, which is Fearless, right? So my goal for both for all of us during this series is that you might, at the very least, fear less than you do. And that even more, perhaps, that you might be fearless. You might be the kind of person who is not defined by your fears. Not that we're foolhardy, not that we're foolish, but the kind of things that hold us back would hold us back less, that we would be people who are bold and fearless. And when you think about where we're at in the kind of calendar year, the church calendar year, we were talking about, of course, last Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus, like this pinnacle moment in the history of our faith. And Jesus triumphing over sin and death and appearing to his disciples. And then the disciples are, you know, they all were super afraid, right? They all ran. They all abandoned him at some point. None of them were at his side when Jesus took his final breaths on the cross. And then Jesus lovingly restores them and re-engages them and tells them, like, we have work to do now, and I've been training you for this, and, you know, forgives them. And he has this moment with Peter on the beach, and then later we see the ascension. Jesus rises into heaven and he leaves his disciples with this mandate. You've got work to do. You've got something to do. But before you do that work, I want you to wait. I want you to wait for something. So he sends them into Jerusalem. They're waiting together. They're praying. God pours out his Holy Spirit upon them. The day of Pentecost happens. And now you've got people with this really powerful set of ingredients. They are people who have seen the risen Jesus. They saw someone defeat death for the first time, right? They're there. He's here. He is alive. They have their story about him. And now they have the Holy Spirit. And that recipe is powerful. And so they go out and they tell everybody they can find about Jesus. And one of the things that is defining them that we see as we read the story of the early church in the book of Acts is this word that comes up over and over and over again. And it's this word, boldness. They were bold. They were, in a sense, fearless. Or definitely they feared less than they did before. But they were bold and they were courageous and they went and they shared the gospel and they prayed big prayers and God worked through them in miraculous ways. And when I think about my own life in contrast to that, it is revealing to me. This is something that kind of shows me about myself and shows me where my struggles are. When I think about my life sometimes in everyday life in the United States in 2019 and think about the things that the way I conduct myself and my general approach to life, and then I look at the disciples, the apostles in the early days of the church, I go, it's a little different. I'm a little different than that. I'm not quite as bold as I would like to be in my faith. And so I want to talk a little bit about the heart behind this series as we begin our study in this series for the next few weeks. So just so you know the kind of where we're going, normally we'll be looking at an Old Testament passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at someone from the Old Testament and they were called to do something or faced something that was fearful for them, and we're going to see how they wrestled through those things and trusted in God and the way that God provided for them. And there's so many great Old Testament examples of this, and we'll go through that. Men and women of the Bible, where they were bold and fearless in their following Jesus. But we see this moment for all of them where God needs to step in and say, don't be afraid. Or there's this moment of hesitation, this moment of fear, and we're going to study that as we go through this series over the course of the next few weeks. But this very much comes from my heart. This series comes from my own story and my own experiences, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So when almost 2 years ago, I signed up for a master's degree program, and a little bit crazy because I have small children and, you know, busy with church things and family and everything, all my obligations. But I really felt like I needed to further my education, and I felt like I was at a point in my leadership where I was just kind of stuck, needed to overcome some challenges and needed to get through some of the ruts that I was in when it came to leadership and pastoring and things like that. And so that's really what motivated me to sign up for this program. So I've been talking about this program at different times, lessons I've learned, things, and I mention it from time to time. And I am almost done, and I'm thrilled by that because I'm ready to be done. Graduate in 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, I'll be in Los Angeles for my graduation. Thank you. And then I'm not quite done. I've got a little less than 2 months until I'm done with the actual program. I graduate before I'm completely done. But anyway, one of the things I have learned, so many, many lessons, so many things that I've learned. I really thrive in that kind of environment as far as the being pushed to read and to learn and things like that. And it's been great. I've learned a ton of things. But the biggest lesson for me recently, I don't think came from the class. I think it was something that just being in that environment, having to think about my own leadership, the way I've led, and even my own spiritual life, and really thinking deeply about that for a long time, I realized that I was more fearful than I knew I was. Everyone has struggles with fear to some degree or another, but I realized that I had really let fear become a factor in my life. That was a weird cultural reference that some of you got, and anyway, fear was a factor for me. And I got to this point where I was realizing about myself, this is showing up, me being fearful of something is showing up in a lot of ways. And when I began to think about that and look at my own life, I began to realize, I am way more fearful than I thought I was, which is problematic. And it's not like major things. It wasn't like big things, but it was 1,000 small ways I had let fear creep into my life. And constantly fearful about different things having to do with parenting or pastoring or even speaking to you or my financial life or financial provision or even procrastination, which I mentioned sometimes that, you know, being in school reminded me of how much of a procrastinator I still am. As a 40-year-old man, I thought I was done with that, but it turns out I'm not. And so, I'm an introvert too, and so there's some things related to that too, and it's always people related. What are people going to think of me? What might they think about me? What if this happens? What if that happens? And it became so much where I was looking at my life about fear and how much it had become a thing in my life that was showing up in a lot of different areas that it almost became like a key to everything. I started looking at every part of my life and thinking, I think I'm holding back over here because I'm kind of fearful. And I began to think about that fear and go, I don't need to be fearful. I need to be bold in this area of my life. And I think over here in this area of life, I need to have a conversation with someone, and I'm kind of afraid about how that conversation is going to go. And so I'm just not going to have it because I'm afraid. I'm afraid they're not going to like me, or they're going to think something negative of me or misperceive what I'm trying to say to them, and so I'm just not going to have that conversation because I'm kind of afraid of how that's going to go. Or I need to say something on a Sunday morning. I need to speak about something from God's Word, and I'm kind of fearful about that, and so I'm holding back a little bit there. And over here in this leadership thing or parenting thing even, just thinking about all of these different areas of my life, and this fear thing, fear versus courage, became like the puzzle piece that was missing where I was realizing, oh, over here I've been afraid, and over here I've been afraid. And the sad thing about it is that I was thinking about my early days in ministry when God first got a hold of my heart and sent me and called me into his service. I want you to serve me with your life. I want you to give your life to me. And I remember thinking about the younger version of myself, like 23-year-old Donnie, and thinking about that younger version and going I was courageous at that time. I was bold, and I did not know a thing. So I had what I lacked in knowledge and wisdom, I made up for in courage and boldness. I would just say whatever, do whatever, because I felt like God wanted me to do that. And now, years later, fast forward, and I've got some wisdom, I've got some knowledge, I've got lots of experience under my belt, and now I've gained in wisdom, but I'm lacking in courage. And so I was realizing, it was this moment of realization where the Spirit was using my education and all these things to speak into my life and say, there's these areas of your life where fear has far too much power. And I could not square my perspective on life, this kind of fearful approach in 1,000 small ways to life. I couldn't square that with Scripture, because we are told constantly in the Scripture to not be afraid. Be bold, be courageous. And I want to give you one small example of one of these areas of my life where this realization really changed things. It's lots of little ways. Again, it's not major things, but a lot of small things where fear, my struggle with fear, something about the realization from that set me free from it. Realizing that I was letting fear become so powerful, and just realizing it and just deciding not to be like that anymore set me free in a lot of ways. So one example, I'm with my nephew, Jake, and I didn't ask his permission to share the story. Hi, Jake. But it's mostly about me, so I think it's okay. Anyway, I was with him in the car, and I locked the church door. Very simple thing. I do it many times a week. I lock the church door, and then I got in the car with him, and then we began driving away from the church. And he goes, "Whoa, where's the Donnie that would go back and check the church door like 3 times before he left?" And the backstory is that I'm a little bit like obsessive to make sure about security and that doors are locked and that we didn't leave a door unlocked. And so at my home or at church, I would go back or even car door type stuff and push that remote way too many times to make sure it's really locked. Because I was thinking about it and then I said, well, you know what? That's funny you mentioned that because there's a real answer to that. And that's that I realized that I've been way too fearful about a lot of little things in my life. And God's revealed that to me and I'm trying to be more bold and courageous. And so I trust that I locked it, and I don't need to go back and check it multiple times to make sure that I locked that door. Scripture tells us to be bold, be courageous, be bold. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning, and then it's where our memory verse comes from, and it's there on the screen. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We're going to come back to this idea, and I encourage you to memorize that verse, commit it to your memory. Be able to bring that to mind sometimes and reflect on that. And the level of, I encourage you to memorize because the level of reflection that it takes to memorize a scripture, to commit it into your heart, will, just as you're thinking about the words and how they relate together, that is a powerful thing to have scripture in your mind like that. And I think that if you commit, I think God is faithful to bring these kind of verses to our mind when we need them. So the next time you're facing something that's difficult, I think if we will commit to putting verses like this into our hearts and our minds, I think God is faithful to bring it to mind when you need it, to bring it into your mind and to help you reflect on it and to be something that drives fear away. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 in just a moment, but I want to let you know kind of the context of this verse. This is Paul's last letter. So many of our, the books of the New Testament are letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, writing to churches and writing to mostly churches and then to people. There's a few that are written to individuals, and this is one of them. This is one of the pastoral epistles where Paul writes to a pastor, and he says, I need you to know certain things and remember this, and encourages them and tells them about how to deal with different situations that they're struggling with. And this is Paul's last one. Paul's writing from a prison cell. Paul mentions needing his coat in this letter. In other words, he's cold. He's in a damp, dark situation, and he's near the end of his life. And we see from this time a very warm, very loving letter. As Paul is facing his own death, he writes the most loving, and you'll see the warmth of it in the opening verses here. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 say this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Here it is. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. First of all, this is a beautiful idea that someone who is facing the end of their own life, he doesn't say, like, I just need encouragement from you. He's thinking about how can he encourage his protege. This is someone that he has led to maturity. This is Paul, discipled Timothy and gave him this opportunity to serve God as a pastor of a church. And now he's writing this letter to him, and it's just full of warmth. But it's also the kind of stuff that you would say at the end of your life if you wanted to remind people of things that were the most important things to you. Like, you need to know this. Remember this. This is, oh man, if you forget everything else, don't forget this. And so Paul is saying these words of encouragement, these words of challenge even for Timothy. But he says at the very beginning, after all this very warm introduction, I long to see you. I remember your tears. love, you know, this full of love, he's writing to him, hey, for this reason, hey, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul is saying to Timothy, you have the Spirit of God within you. You have God's Spirit residing within you. And I don't know what led Paul to say this other than the Spirit inspiring him to say this, but was Timothy like super timid? Was he fearful? Was he generally uncomfortable in crowds? I don't know what the situation was or what Timothy's particular mix of personality traits was, but Paul says you need to remember, don't be afraid. God has given you a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And you think about these words together and the importance of them that hey, don't be afraid. The Spirit of God within you is not what is making you fearful. Right? It's the other things. It's our fear. It's our flesh. It's our concerns and our overactive imaginations that we have, if you're anything like me. Right? That's what's making us fearful. But in these moments when we're thinking in this fear-based way, we need to remember that God's Spirit is not a fearful spirit. And we need his help in order to have the kind of power from God that we need, the kind of love that we need, and the kind of self-control that we need. And it's interesting that each of these things, he's like, if you're fearful, you're going to struggle with power, love, and self-control. If you are controlled and ruled by fear, you will not have the power of God at work in your life that you need. I don't know about you, but like my power is pretty limited personally. I need God's power to come to bear on situations that I face or life in this church and my family. And I need God's power. I don't want to just always be relying on my own power. I need the power of God at work in my life. And fear is opposed to that. God's Spirit is willing to provide the kind of power that we need in our lives. And also love is the next one, right? That we love other people. That can be a fearful thing too. Anytime you love someone, there's an element of risk. Anytime you love people in an action-oriented kind of way where the love of God is compelling you to help someone with a need or to speak with someone or to reach out relationally for, you know, interpersonal connection in some way. And to love other people is always a risky thing, whether you're serving other people or whether God's called you to do something ministry-wise to help somebody out. There's always risk and there's always fear related. What are they going to think of me? What if they, like, get mad at me for offering to help? Or what if they, you know, there's this element of risk involved, and fear will keep us from loving people the way God's calling us to love them. So we must deal with this as well. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit for self-control as well. That's another aspect that God's Spirit helps us with, becoming the kind of person that we want to become, dealing with temptation in a victorious way, growing closer to Christ through our disciplines, committing to do the kind of commitments we have in our life. I mean, self-control has all of these aspects to it. God's Spirit, which is not a fearful spirit, will give us the power, love, and self-control we need to lead our lives. And fear holds us back from each of these things. Again, sometimes love requires courage. Self-control requires courage. And certainly God's power. To pray bold prayers is a courageous act. To look for God to help us in many different ways is a courageous act. And so I was talking about how this kind of idea here helped me. It was almost that thing that kind of just made other pieces fit, where I was thinking about my life and thinking about different things I was dissatisfied at, mostly myself. Just like, I wish I would have done better at, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank. And there's an episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza decides that he's just going to do the opposite of anything George Costanza would normally do. And I'm not like pastorally recommending the whole Seinfeld show, but this episode has some insight for me that I was sharing with someone over a meal, I think, or over coffee. I was just saying, like, I feel like George Costanza, where George Costanza would just like, he like, the normal me would do this, and so I'm going to do the opposite of that. I was thinking about that with my own life, that normally when I'm faced with this scenario, whatever it might be, I would be fearful and not do it or hedge my bets a little bit or not speak as boldly as I should. But the new courageous and fearless me is going to do it this way instead. And I want you to think about your own life. Where are you held back by fear? Where is fear a limiting factor for you? Because it's there somewhere. You might be way more courageous than me. You're super extroverted and you don't have problems with certain things as much as I do. And I'm talking about being timid about conversations and things like that. And you can't identify with that, but you have somewhere in your life where you have let fear hold you back from something. And I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. I want you to, as we go through this series, my hope is to free you from that. That God would, not me, but that God's Spirit would give you that power, love, and self-control that God wants us to have. And it would give you that kind of freedom to walk in courage and faith. And so we're going to keep coming back to this theme over and over again over the next few weeks, looking at Old Testament stories and considering courage and faith and how we overcome fear in our lives and become more fearless in our lives, in our relationship with Christ. And I have a very exciting treat for you right now, and that is that I want to introduce someone to you that I feel is a great example. He's someone who encourages me personally. I think one of the things that when it comes to fear and courage and being more courageous and having faith is to have good people around you and good people in your life that can model what that looks like. And I have someone that has been wanting to come to the U.S. for years now, someone that I met in 2011, Pastor David from Uganda, and I am thrilled to have him up on the stage. He's a pastor of a church, 11-year-old church in Kampala that he planted, and someone that we met originally as a part of through our connection with New Life Uganda. He was our translator, one of our translators for our team, and then we developed a relationship over the period of time that I was there in 2011 and maintained it through the wonders of Facebook over the years. He tunes in here. I was introducing him to someone a few minutes ago, and he's like, oh yeah, I know you from the live stream. So he watches this over in Uganda, and now he's getting to be up here. I think first time preaching in the United States in person and sharing with us. And so Pastor David's going to share a little bit of his story so you can get to know him a little bit, and he's going to share some thoughts as well about overcoming fear. And so I want you to give him a very warm welcome, Pastor David, up to our stage. There you go, Pastor. Let's
get that. Thank you so much, Pastor Don. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy and excited to be here for the first time. I'm bringing you greeting from Uganda. And also from our church, Kingdom Harvest Mission Church, and also from my wife and my children. I'm married and have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls. My name is David Kalasda. I'm so happy to be invited by Pastor Don and this church. Surely it has been my desire for many years for me to come to United States. But finally, God has done it. Today, I am here. You know, this country, it has a lot the examples for us in Uganda. Many great men and great women has come to our country from this country. And they have touched our lives. They have inspired us. They have revived us in Uganda, and the church in Uganda is a result of this country, part of it. It is a result of this country. We can't deny it. You have a great country, and we love you, and we've been praying for you for many, many years ago. So I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to come to this country. And I thank God that has connected me to Pastor Don and this church. I have been following you through Facebook for many years. And the good thing that the time different from Uganda and America, When you're having service here, we finish our service in Uganda, so we're able to follow you. Hallelujah. I thank God for Pastor Don, the message he has just shared. It is really a great message. And I remember when I was planning to come, there was a plane of Ethiopian airline that was crashed I think it is 1 month back. And I was trying to buy my air ticket to come, and then the plane crashed and killed all the people. So it created a fear in my heart also. So it took God, because I was in fear for buying ticket to come. The devil started bringing thoughts in me, and maybe you are going to die also. So I went into the presence of God and I prayed. So I'm going to share with you how you can overcome the fear. Because all of us, to be honest, we have some fear in another way or another one. Hallelujah. But before I do that, I want to thank God, because 18 years ago, God showed me a vision that I would come to this country. And I was deep down in the village preaching the gospel. It was a dream that I went to United States Embassy, and they gave me a visa to come. So I started praying for that to come true, to come to pass. But it has taken 18 years. And 2 years ago, I wanted to go to the embassy because I got an invitation to come to attend a conference in Washington. And they denied me a visa. And I remembered in the dream that it was a woman giving me a visa. This time was a man. So I knew that it was not my time. So I keep on waiting and praying. Now this time when I went there, it was a woman, and he did not question me. He just granted me a visa. So I'm thankful to God. Hallelujah. And I know that the Lord has brought me here for the purpose, and I know he's going to do great things in my life, and also to learn a lot from you. Hallelujah. I want to give you just a few minutes my testimony. Pastor David Kalasira. I'm called David Kalasira. I want you to know my testimony. I was born in the village, in the deep village. My mother and my father came from Rwanda. Rwanda is a country in Africa, and there was a war, a first genocide war in Rwanda, and they immigrated to Uganda in 1959. And then when they came to Uganda, that's where I was born, in Uganda. And I was born in the poor family in the village there, because they are immigrant. They came to Uganda. So by the grace of God, we are raised in that family. And my father was a cattle keeper. They used to have cattle. Then there was a war in our country that brought the government in power, a bush war. Then they stole all our cattle. Then we had nothing left. That was the only income to our family. I used to go to school, but this time I stopped to going to school because there was no money. It was a difficult moment, but my father had no money to send me to school. So I started working when I was still young to survive, and also to bring food for our family. We started working with my brother when he was still young, before even 15 years. We started working, hard working in the village. So I was frustrated in that kind of life. But the gospel came to our village. That was 1992, and so a pastor came to our village to preach the gospel, and then I gave my life to Christ. I remember the pastor was preaching the message about the rich man and the story of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, I think. Then a pastor was talking about how the rich man went to hell because he did not know Jesus. And then I did not want to go to hell. I accepted the Lord Jesus. From that day, the Lord changed my life. And I got hope through the word of God, and the pastor mentored me. The pastor started discipling me. And since that day, my life changed. And I'm so thankful for that. And in 2007, the Lord told me to start a ministry and a church. And the pastor prayed for me. And I went and I started a ministry, a church. And he gave me a name, Kingdom Harvest Mission Church. He sent me in the village of where the most many Muslims are in that village. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has used us. Even the Muslims, they have converted to Christianity. And we have them in our church. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, it is not by might, it is not by power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I want to share how you can overcome fears. Because all of us, in one way or another, we have fears. Even Jesus had fear. Did you know that even Jesus got fear? Jesus came to die for us. He came with a mission, and he was willing to die for us. But when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he almost withdrew the idea of dying for us. Of saving us, the fear came to him, and he wanted to withdraw the mission. The Bible said that he had so much sorrow in his heart, and he prayed that God, if possible, let this cup be taken away, and he prayed that not my will but your will. It means he had fear also. He had encountered fear. So, even Jesus encountered fear. But what helped him is to pray. So, if you are going to overcome fear, number one, we have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. We have to go in the presence of God and pray. Because only the presence of God can give us strength and courage to overcome fear. When you look at the apostles in Acts, in the book of Acts, you look at chapter 4 and verse 29 to verse 30, you will see that the apostles, they are also in fear. They started preaching the gospel, and the people, they beaten them, they took them in the prison, they told them to not mention any other name of Jesus, and they were tortured and were in fear. And then they prayed that God give us boldness to speak in your name. Hallelujah. When you see verse 31, the Bible said that they were in prayer. They prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak the word in boldness. It means when we pray, God give us the boldness. Hallelujah. So if you are going to overcome fear, you need to pray. You need to seek the presence of God. Number two, if we are to overcome fear, we need to develop a great relationship or a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit or with God. We need to know him. We need to know God. Knowing God, this word knowing God, it means to have a an intimate relationship with God. The Bible says in Daniel that the people who know their God shall be strong. That is Daniel 11:32. It says that people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we need to know God, because sometimes the situation comes in our life just to reveal how much do we know God. They come to our lives like a test. Do we have a relationship with God? Do we have a relationship with God? Hallelujah. So we need to know God personally to have a relationship with God. These three youth, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the book of Daniel. These people, they were challenged. They told them to worship the idol. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, there was a command to worship the idol. But these three Hebrew people, they refused to bow down to the idol. Why? Because they have a relationship. They had a relationship with God, and they knew their God. And then they are caught, and they were brought into before the king. And the king told them that if you are not willing to worship this idol, you are going to die. And the fire was there. This boy knew very well that the king is very serious and is going to put them on fire. It was a test to them. But they are very courageous and bold to respond to the king. They told the king that we are not going to bow down to this idol. We are not ready to worship this idol, because we know that our God is able to deliver us. But even if he will not deliver us, we are not ready to worship the idol. That means a lot to me. It means they have a relationship. They knew their God. They have a strong relationship with their God. They could not allow fear to come into their lives. They were bold. Hallelujah. The Bible said that righteous are bold like what? A lion. So we have to know God. We have to know, to have a relationship with our God. A strong relationship, a personal relationship. Hallelujah. Number three, the keys. I'm giving you keys how to overcome fear. Number three is to surround yourself with positive people. You need to surround yourself with positive people. People who are speaking life. People who are speaking like God. Who are speaking positive things in your life. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It means even fear comes by hearing. Hearing the negative information, the negative news. Hallelujah. The devil brings information which are not true in your life. The doctors tell you that you are going to die. You have cancer. You have this disease. It may be true, but it is not the truth. The truth is God's word. Hallelujah. What is God's word says to you? You need to cut out yourself from every negative information, every negative people in your life. The example is in, as I finish, the example is in the book of Mark, chapter 5, and verse 35 to verse 42. Jesus was going to Jairus' house because he was invited to heal Jairus' daughter. Then when they are going, someone came with the bad news to Jairus. And he told him that, don't bother the teacher, don't bother Jesus, because the child is what? Is already dead. And Jesus told, allow me to read this verse. Mark chapter 5. Verse 35. While he was speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. It was like the truth was, the reality was the child was dead. But the truth was, he is not dead. He's sleeping. So, and they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. What are we learning in this story? When these people came with the bad news and they told this man that don't bother the teacher, the child is what? He's already dead. And Jesus heard them and he told this man that don't be afraid, just only believe. And the Bible said that he permitted not everyone to go with them. Only Peter, John, and Jacob. It means he selected the people who have a positive attitude, a positive mind. He did not permit everyone to go because they may what? They may bring negative news. So we need to select people. We need to surround ourselves with positive people, positive friends, people who speak positive in your life. People who know the faith, who speak faith in your life, who build your life. Sometimes the devil brings people in our lives to put down our faith. I pray to you today that the Lord will send people in your life who are going to speak positive in your life, who are going to impart faith in your life, who are going to build faith in your life. May God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to have you stay up here with me for a moment. So thank you. Thank you so much. You are one of those people for me, being an encouragement, someone that speaks life and faith. And I got to spend, yesterday we had our Alpha event where a group of us were in this room for from like 9 in the morning to 3 o'clock. We had this time to just really spend time together talking about faith and learning about the Holy Spirit. And David said so many things that I just kept writing down. I'm just like, I filled up a piece of paper with things that he kept saying, things that were super encouraging and just like challenging. And I'm going to remember how he said that. That was really powerful. I'm going to have him pray for you. I'm going to have him pray over the church and pray for you. Pray specifically with this idea of fear and courage and facing your fear with faith and the boldness of Jesus. and praying for you. And then we're going to close out our time with a time of worship. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And then Pastor David is going to pray for us and close out the service time, the sermon time.
Amen. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you for this wonderful people. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you, Father, for the word Pastor Don has shared to us about fear and how we can overcome fear. Lord, we pray that you grant us boldness in the name of Jesus. Give us courage from your spirit in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. Lord, I pray that you empower us with your spirit. Empower us with your power in the name of Jesus to overcome every fear. It may be fear of death. It may be fear of disease or sickness or every bad news in our life. Lord, we cut ourselves from every negative information, every negative attitude, every negative kind of voices. We break every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. We pray for the spirit of the Lord to empower us from today in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, empower us. Give us courage. Give us power from today in the name of Jesus. Father, let us know that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. Father, I pray that everyone in this house shall go from here with the spirit of boldness and courage to face every fear in the name of Jesus. We pray.